everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Our guest today is John Vespasian. John is calling in from the Netherlands to talk to us about his new book called Principles of Rational Living. Are you a rational person? We're going to find out today when we talk to John. Hey, this is good stuff. You want to stay tuned. Principles of Rational Living with John Vespasian. Right after this, I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey there, that email address is mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Love to hear from you. Hey everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is John Vespasian. John has numerous books, and his latest is The 10 Principles of Rational Living. John, welcome to The Journey of Hope.
Hi, Ronnie. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm calling from the Netherlands. I'm calling in the Netherlands, but I think with Skype we can easily communicate.
Okay, good deal. Now, John, it's a little bit of a tradition here on the Journey of Hope that we start off by asking a guest to tell us a little bit about themselves. Can you start there for us, please?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
We usually ask people to tell us a little bit about themselves. Will you do that for us, please?
Yes, I can do that. I have been writing books since 2008, books about rational living. This was something I've been doing in parallel to my career. So, I've been working in the commercial area for many years. The reason why I started to write books about rational living is because I grew dissatisfied with the books I found on the market about personal development. And I tried to take a different approach to that. And so good, it's going very good, very well in the interviews and the sales of the books. And I think I'm going to continue in this way for the next decade.
Okay, but what about your early life? Tell us a little bit about how you came to write these books and a little bit about your history.
Well, I have been working in many different areas, mainly commercially. I have lived in different European countries. So I am multilingual, and it took me a while to adapt to live in different countries. Now I have having lived in the Netherlands for a while, and once you get used to learning foreign languages, at the beginning it's quite difficult, but once you get used to that, every new language becomes easier. But still, at the beginning it was quite a struggle to live abroad.
Okay. All right. Now, the theme that I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked to me like, and you've got a whole bunch of books out there, the theme that seems to run through them is this idea of rational philosophy. Tell us about what that is. What is rationality? Tell us about that.
Yes, the thread that runs through my books is very simple. I would define it as a branch of personal development, and the idea is very simple. The idea is that if you try to keep calm and to take rational decisions, especially when you're facing adversity and you're facing deep problems, if you try to stay calm and take rational decisions and implement them consistently, in the long run, you're bound to do very well. So the idea is very simple. It is extremely difficult to implement because we human beings, we have a strong component of irrationality. We have a strong tendency to think only short-term. And we have also a tendency to panic when we're in really in deep trouble. So the principle is relatively easy to enunciate, but implementation is difficult. And this is the subject of my books, to analyze dozens and dozens of real people in history, also in current times, and try to see how they overcome difficulties, how they actually manage to turn difficult situations around, and to try to draw principles from those situations, from those stories, that you can implement in your real life. So basically, what they do is a branch of personal development based on real cases and based on history. And I try to stay away from positive thinking. And this is something that I think is also unusual in this area of personal development, because I believe that it's very difficult to sustain an optimistic and enthusiastic attitude when you're facing very difficult problems. And I think you should better devote your energies to trying to solve the practical problems rather than to try to keep you motivated against all odds. So I think it's better to try to solve the problems rather than try to be cheerful when you cannot really be.
One of the things that that struck me as I was just kind of reading about you and what it is you do is it seems to me like what you're trying to teach people to do is to stay away from impulsivity. Am I right about that? Or tell me about that.
Well, it's an interesting observation. And I think this is one of the aspects that is a concern. But I think it's not so much to steer away from emotions and to steer away from impulsivity. Because one of the principles that I have in my book, The 10 Principles of Rational Living, is that, you should pay attention to your feelings, but you should also pay attention to the facts. And I want to give you an example of a story I have in one of my books.
Okay.
And it's the story of Bobby Fischer, who was a famous, chess champion in the 70s. And the story is really very tragic because he basically the guy destroyed his life completely. After many years of working very hard to go to the top of the chess world, and actually to beat the Russian champion in Iceland, he went to Reykjavik. I mean, he made chess very popular at the time, and he went back to the United States after winning against the Russian champion. He became world champion. And basically then he lost touch with reality completely. He became very emotional. He started to fight with the World Chess Federation about the rules for the next championship. I mean, the whole thing was really stupid because the guy was extremely intelligent. So basically he became very emotional. And then I analyzed the story in detail in my book because I find it very tragic. And in the end he became an expatriate because he started to break the law in different countries. He violated the U.S. embargo against Serbia, so he went to play in Serbia. He collected some prizes in Serbia. And in the end, he was just living like a refugee, going from country to country, trying to escape the police. In the end, he was arrested in Japan in the airport and put in jail. And only thanks to the intervention of the Icelandic government, they gave him refuge in the island in where he had played. So he spent the last decade of his life basically as a refugee, just living in Reykjavik. A very, very sad story. And you have to ask yourself, how is it possible that such an intelligent person, such a well-trained and really highly motivated person destroyed his life completely just for nothing? Because it's just for nothing. I mean, the guy was really a genius playing chess. Why did he have to get into so much trouble for nothing? And you will find the answer, and this is one of the ideas that I really underline in my books, you will find the answer in the last years of Bobby Fischer, because he basically spent his 10 last years of his life, he spent the last 10 years reading books. And what he would do when he was in Reykjavik, instead of playing chess, because he basically quit playing chess, he would go to a second-hand bookshop. And he would just read books about history, philosophy, psychology, religion. And he became, in the end, very, very much well-read. And what is the problem that you can see in his life? The problem is that he basically devoted all his energies to one thing. And he really never took the time to become, I would say, well-read in different areas and to have a balanced philosophy and a balanced personality. Mm-hmm. And this is why he was so emotional, because he never really developed a stable philosophy, a long-term philosophy. And I think in the last years of his life, he really regretted his mistakes when he actually became more balanced and more rational. But you have to realize that you have to learn from these kind of mistakes that are so obvious and so tragic. Mm-hmm. And to try to prevent these mistakes in your own life. And this is the purpose of my books, to show people, I mean, to a certain extent, to show myself what you should not be doing and to try to draw conclusions about what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating analogy and very, very interesting. And you got to wonder if he would have done what you say, which is, you know, this thing you talk about where you talk about opportunity versus resources, where opportunity is endless and resources are limited. If Bobby Fischer would have seen things in that way and not have acted on his emotions, think of where he would have gone in life. And John, you know that this podcast is geared towards ex-offenders trying to improve themselves. And one of the things that I really find interesting about your writing is this idea of controlling that impulsivity and to not act on those emotions. There are so many people that end up in trouble because they act on their emotions, like Bobby Fischer was doing in your story. Would you agree with that, that acting on your emotions is probably not the best thing to do, is it?
Yes, it has many disadvantages. I mean, sometimes when you're facing a grave danger and you are in a severe situation that you have to react immediately, it is very good sometimes to rely on your emotions. But this is extraordinary. I think one of the problems we have, I mean, as human beings, one of the problems we have to make rational decisions and to actually to try to improve our chances of success and happiness is that we tend to look at things short-term. And this is very natural, because if you look back in history, I mean, there was a time where human beings basically were just killing for lunch, I mean, killing animals, and then to try to put some food for the winter, to go through the winter, and then to go back to killing animals. So that was the life of human beings for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. So we have this reflex of trying to avoid immediate danger and to panic and to try to take immediate decisions when you're facing adversity. But this is actually very rational, because if you want to make high-quality decisions that really will enhance your life and will increase your chances of being successful, happy, satisfied, the best way is to try to get used to thinking in terms of a lifetime. You have to be, I mean, even if you have been, I mean, an ex-offender, you have been in jail, or you have been going through terrible situations, you still have many years and many decades ahead, and you have to try to take decisions and to try to arrange your life and your plans in terms of decades or in terms of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Because if you fall back into the reflex of taking immediate decisions and just going from day to day, it's very difficult to build anything. It's very difficult to build a career, to build relationships, to build friendships. And this might be for many of us against the grain to try to force yourself to think long term, but I think it's the best way to make optimal decisions. I want to give you an example.
Okay, so, but let me just jump in real quick. And in your books, do you teach people to before they act, to think about like a consequence, to think about the idea of a consequence? Do you teach that?
Yes, I do, but I also recognize that sometimes it's very difficult to see the consequences, because you are in a very confusing situation.
Right.
And I also analyze in my book many situations where you are completely out of range and you cannot really make good situations.
Let me just hold up right there. Let me just ask you real quick. Let me throw this in there. One of the things you talk about is keeping calm when you're surrounded by that kind of nonsense. That's the terminology you use. So can you give us, John, some specifics about staying calm when, you know, the when it hits the fan, when the turmoil comes, how do we stay calm so that we can make the rational decision?
Well, the best strategy is to start to think in terms of objective actions and not subjective actions. And let me explain this because it's absolutely not self-evident.
Okay.
One of the examples I present in my books is the story of Semmelweis, who was a doctor in the early, that was the 19th century, and he discovered actually that if you wash your hands before an operation and before touching patients, you decrease the risk of infection. Mm-hmm. He discovered this by chance, by comparing statistics in different hospitals, because he was an obstetrician. He came up with the idea that a doctor should not go from doing autopsies to delivering babies, because at that time people just didn't even bother to wash their hands because they didn't know about germs. Mm-hmm. And then Semmelweis came up with the idea that this was dangerous. And now comes the real problem. Semmelweis started to express his ideas by telling people, you are wrong, you should wash your hands. He started to criticize other doctors. And he became enmeshed in a personal crusade against not washing your hands, because he realized that actually doctors were killing people. They were infecting babies. They were infecting patients. But Semmelweis, instead of facing with calm the situation that he was being subjected to, because everybody started to criticize him, he was fired from his job, they destroyed his reputation, and in the end he finished his life very sadly in a psychiatric hospital, and he basically committed suicide. And he was a genius. He tried to save thousands of people, and everybody ignored him because just the idea was so innovative and so unpopular that basically the guy took it too seriously and he died. Now, what would you do in this situation where facing massive opposition, massive malevolent criticism, you're facing ignorance or you're facing misunderstanding and lack of appreciation? And this is something which I think considered crucial, one of the crucial ideas in my books. You should start thinking about things in a different way. You should stop trying to convince people that you're right, because most of the time people are not going to listen, or they just don't care, or they just ignore you. And you should try to focus on the market and try to find a way to become successful with the knowledge that you have accumulated. And in the case of Semmelweis, if instead of trying to convince everybody and to try to fight and to try to argue and to try to write letters to the newspapers that made him very unpopular in his profession, instead of that, the only thing he just needed to do is just to go on his own business, to go to a hospital, to prove that his system was successful, mm-hmm. and he would have made a small fortune or a large fortune, mm-hmm. and he would have become very, very famous and very, very wealthy. But instead of becoming an entrepreneur, which I really favor in my books, mm-hmm. he became a crusader, and he became obsessed that he was right and everybody else was wrong, and he had to convince everybody. And this is a complete waste of time, Robin, a complete waste of time. And I think we have to steer away from personal conflicts that most of the time are a complete waste of time, because you do not manage to convince anybody just by arguing. And you have to try to find the market for your talents, whatever mm-hmm. they are, and to become successful, because the market, the world is quite big, especially if you live in a large country like the United States. And you can make a living and you can become successful in thousands of different ways. Mm-hmm. You should not waste your time arguing with people, even if they are completely wrong, because it's a complete waste of time.
You know, I think that the people that are listening to this podcast right now, I think you just struck a chord with them. I could just feel it in my bones. That is very powerful stuff you're saying there, John. One of the things that you say, and we're getting close on time here, but one of the things you say is that we should accept the inevitable hassles of life. I really like that. Tell us why that's important.
This is super important because even if you become very rational, I understand that it's difficult for all of us. Even if you become rational, even if you make perfect decisions, even if you are extremely careful and you have foresight and prudence, the only thing you will get is a higher chances of becoming successful. You will never get a guarantee of success. Nobody gets a guarantee of anything. Mm-hmm. So you have to be wise enough to understand that you are always going to have to deal with disruption. You are always going to have to deal with unfairness. Even if you are really fair and kind to other people, it doesn't matter. I mean, statistically speaking, you will always have to take some crap here and there. You will always have, sometimes you will always be the victim of mistakes, because people make mistakes. Sometimes they make them malevolently, and sometimes they make them because they are just ignorant. And this is life. And it's very difficult to accept, because all of us have a tendency to demand justice and to say it should not be like this. Mm-hmm. But you have to realize that no matter how clever you are, you will always have to deal with random disruption. And this is something that we all need to get wise enough to understand that this is part of life. And these are small hassles or big hassles that you have to deal with. It's part of life, and it's better to take this philosophically.
I like everything you're saying, John. This is excellent, excellent ideas and stuff you're sending our way. How do we get those books? Tell us how to get them.
Again, sorry, Rodney, I didn't get that.
How do we get your books, John? Where do we find your books?
Ah, the books. Oh, sorry. It's very easy to find my books or my articles. If you just type my name on Google, John Vespasian, you will find my books there in Amazon. They are in Barnes & Noble. They are in the iStore. You will find it easily. And you will also find my blog with hundreds of free articles. It also has a free e-book with an introduction to my work. So it's very easy to find. Just type my name, John Vespasian, on Google.
Okay, and it's going to be right there next to the podcast. So, John Vespasian, John, you've got a whole bunch of books out there that I think I'm going to start reading. And I really appreciate the things that you have to say. And I appreciate you being on the Journey of Hope today, sir. Once again, that email address is mathersrodney@yahoo.com. It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Hey, listen, if you've got an idea for a guest, I'd like to hear it, and I'll try to get them on if I can. And if you want to tell me your success story, or just let me know how you're doing, drop me a line, okay? I'd love to hear from you. Okay, folks, that's all we have time for. We'll check you next time right here on the Journey of Hope. And remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? See you next time.